ಸಾಧೈಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸದಗಾನಲೀಲಾ ಶ್ರೀಶಾಕಾಂಡಿರಂ ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂಡ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಕಾಂಡಿನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೇ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನೋಸುತೆ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೆ ವಾಂಚ ಕಲ್ಪ ಸರೂಪಿಯಚ್ಚ ಶಿವಾ ಸಿಂಧುವ್ಯರೇವ ಚ ಪತಿಮಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನಿಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವಿಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿವೈದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀಪಾಠ್ಯ ಗೌರವಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ Chapter 11, text number 13, on the subject matter of the universal form. Now, on this purport, or rather on this particular text, there's also a commentary that has been given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In a form, as per him, or rather as per Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in the form Sri Arjuna saw, there were many universes and many planets consisting of earth, made of gold, made of jewels, measuring 50 koti yojanas, or 100 koti yojanas, or 100,000 koti yojanas. Actually, when we are discussing this particular chapter, the universal form, many of us will be thinking, okay, I have a concept of the universal form, and that is a picture that's given in Bhagavad Gita, and that's it. So, that's actually, according to scripture, according to Shilpa Shastra, it has been drawn and given to us, and been placed in Bhagavad Gita, and has been authorized. So that is a glimpse of what Vishwarupa, or what the universal form is supposed to be. But it is not the sum and total. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada 10.57.18, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it is described that one yojana measures about 8 miles. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said, 100,000 koti yojanas. So that was the planets those were appearing on the form of the universal law. So how big was the transcendental form of the universal law? It's immeasurable and inconceivable for the mundane mind. Then in a statement which we wanted to call for as an analogy, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 21, text number 3, Mahaprabhu mentions as such, Sarve Rupera Dhamma Parovyam Dhamme Pratat Pratat Vaikuntha Sabha Nahikata Ganane, which means, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues, all the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over spiritual planets in that abode, but there is no counting of those Vaikuntha planets. Now, these planets were also appearing on the transcendental Virat Rupa. Then the next text he says, Sata, first, Sahasra, and then he says, Ayuta, Laksha, Koti Yojana. Then he says, Eka Eka, Vaikunthera, Visatara, Varnana. Now, we'll break this up. Sata means 100. Sahasra means 1,000. Ayukta, 10,000. Laksha, 100,000. And Koti means 10 million. Yojana, a distance of 8 miles. So, Eka, each and every one, Vaikunthe Rera, of the spiritual planet, Vistara, the breath, Varnana, description. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1000, by 10,000, by 100,000, and by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is extended beyond our ability to measure. So can you imagine? The Lord lives in such a planet, and that is only one part of His form. Now here, what the Lord has done is, bring about everything. I said, okay, I'll paint the entire picture for you. So that was what being seen by Arjuna. So in that sense, it was not a complete thing. Alright? It's described here, okay, that it was appearing at different parts of the Lord's deha. Then we went on to further look up the universal form. The universal form can be divided for the sake of explanation, 17:17, right? The part of the universal form, he is earth, neighbor is the sky, eyes, sun, nostrils, wind, genitals, demigod of procreation, anus, death, mind, moon, faith, heavenly planets, earth, or other years, direction, many arms protecting various planets, eyebrows, god of death, lower lip, shame, upper lip, greed, his smile, delusion, teeth, moonshine, bodily hairs, trees, hairs on head, cloud. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:11:8. So that's how the universal form is described. Now this is what was actually being seen by Sri Arjuna. And for that, the Lord had to bestow a divine set of eyes. Now in now that was what we were mentioning earlier on, the Vaikuntha planets and so on, were the only part of the Lord's manifestation, the spiritual side of it. That means we are not talking about the lower planetary systems or any other part of it. So now we can have, or rather might have, a glimpse of an idea as to what was witnessed by Arjuna. So after I gave you all these specifications, or so-called specifications, you can have a rough idea as to what. For example, if you are standing, let's say you are standing on the beach, right? From horizon to horizon, the end, one end to the other end, it's fully covered. That much only the eye can take in, right? But we are still limited. We still need many, many more eyes to actually see everything. Something like watching the TV. If you concentrate on one part of the TV, somebody moves on that side, you won't be able to see. So that is how we are limited. But then the thing is, how does the mind work? How does the material mind work? The material mind is very interesting. Right? Even after understanding all this, for example, the atheistic mind argues, we can believe in God only when we can see Him. I remember speaking to one of my God sisters when she was 10 years old. And at the time, she went back home and her uncle told her like this. He said, if you can show me God, then I will accept that God exists. And this God sister of mine is very witty and very smart, spiritually also very elevated, I would say. And she actually, at that age, turned around and told him, you can't even see your prime minister, you want to see God. Just like that. You know, you need to go through so many red tapes and so many channels before you see a mundane man who's holding a name tag, you know. But what about God? You think he's so cheap, is it? So, it's not, because you must be qualified in order to see God. So, here, Is God really existing? Is the world working according to His or according to the Lord's will? These thoughts still persist in spite of so much association with devotees and reading of the scriptures and hearing them for so many years. Is it not? Sometimes Maya kicks in very hard, and then suddenly the boat gets moved a little bit, or rather, in a process of our material ocean, and then all these anarthas will start coming in because of sometimes we are put into difficult association, and because of that, the mind becomes turbulent. So, how can one visualize just this vision that was bestowed upon Arjuna, let alone see the Supreme Lord with this faithless, imperfect mind and contaminated eyes? Why do we say that? Because what do we see? Whenever we look at a white piece of paper with a black dot on it, and we ask, what is this? And someone will say, black dot, ma. Because they only want to see the black dot. They don't want to see the white paper. So that is how the human mind is trained. So as such, we want to see what we want to see. We do not want to see what the Lord is showing. I'll give you a practical example. Sometimes you're walking by in a very nice place, maybe a garden, and there's huge trees which have been growing for many, many years. So beautifully grown, huge and bushy. And then these trees, for example, as you're walking, a nice breeze comes, and the branches are moving about so beautifully. And then suddenly your eye catches sight of beautiful, colorful birds coming up, sitting on the branches, you know, talking among themselves, and then flying off to another part of the tree, maybe another tree, and so on. What will your mind think? Such a beautiful sight to behold, isn't it? It's such a beautiful sight. When you see such a thing, you become so happy. It's so nice, right? But the problem here is, do we acknowledge the painter of that picture? Do we walk by and say, Krishna created such a wonderful... No, we won't be saying that. So nice to see. That's the first thing that will be coming out from our lips. Alright? So, that isn't that a beautiful sight in that sense? But we do not acknowledge the owner. We do not acknowledge the painter of that scene. Alright? And then when we see that scene, what do we learn? We learn sense enjoyment, sense gratification. But in actuality, what is being shown to us? That it is shown, or rather it is shown, that all the colorful personalities, the birds, alright, the so-called relatives, friends, alright, friendies, if you have any, who give us all their darshan, day in, day out, as they are coming in and going out in our life. What are they doing? They are actually further helping us to become, or rather helping us to be in grand illusion and become deeply rooted in this dukkhali, just like those trees. That is the picture that we get when we see all those things. So, it is only on the surface level, whatever that is being painted very nicely. So, this is what we have been seeing. Alright, this is how we have been capturing things from the material nature. There is no lesson learned. So in Mundaka Upanishad, the third Mundaka, first Kanda of the 8th mantra, it explains, the Supreme Person cannot be seen with material eyes or described with material words or any other senses. He is not attained by austerity or fruitless work. Only when, by His mercy, one becomes wise and pure in heart, can one see the supremely pure Lord in trance of meditation. So, in order to further elaborate this, there is this part of the Mahabharata, and there is this nice incident to prove that our material eyes or any other senses cannot access the Supreme Lord. Dhritarashtra was blind, wasn't he, from birth? And he could not see anything. But when Lord Krishna came to the court of the Kauravas for peace negotiation, the Lord was playing the part of Henry Kissinger. Right? So, the Lord exhibited His universal form, and only great souls like Bhishma Dev, Vidura could actually envision Him. The Lord, however, granted divine vision to Dhritarashtra, and he was also able to see the Lord. For a few moments, just for a few moments. So a blind person could see the Lord by his grace only. Arjuna was quite an opposite. He was quiet, being on the greatest, one of the greatest archers of his time. What must be he? What must he be having? Very sharp eyesight, isn't it? And very powerful eyesight, in fact, which is the prime requirement of an archer. In fact, I was told that, you know, when we are reading, he can actually look at the water and shoot something behind. Right? We can try that. If nobody sues us, it's fine. Then you're a good archer. So in any way, the Lord decided to show his universal form in the battlefield of Kurukshetra in this particular verse. And the Lord said, you will not be able to behold my form with your present eyes. I will give you a divine vision. So both Arjuna and Dhritarashtra, they were equal before the Lord. Is it not in this aspect that their eyes were equally useless in beholding the Lord's trans and physical form? The Lord blessed them with divine vision for seeing him. If we go further into Srimad Bhagavatam, right, then we see Shloka 1336-38. Sri Sukha Goswami narrates 15 qualities of the Lord to the sages of Naimisharanya. We divided the 15 qualities, and there, the Lord, whose activities are spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. You see, to tell you in the layman term, we have been having a lot of melamine thing going on. The latest I heard was, it was in the chicken egg. Right? So, let's just take the egg. Always the question is, which one came first? Egg or the chicken? Right? Some will say chicken, then the egg came, and then some will say, how did the chicken come? Must be egg, then chicken will come out. Right? So they'll go vice versa and so on and so forth. But let's place a coconut, right? A coconut on the ground. And after some time, a coconut tree appears. And that coconut comes out. Alright? And inside that coconut, there is another coconut tree. Alright? You plant it, it just grows. So, can you imagine how mystical the Lord is? It's amazing. What is his potency? This is just a very layman material example. Amoha Lila. The Lord's activities are always spotless. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very unique definition to this adjective. Amoha Lila indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. See, there is nothing lamentable. What is lamentation? Adi Atmik, Adi Devik, Adi Bodhi. What is lamentation? I think somebody knew the answer. Anyway, we couldn't decipher the code. So, the fact is, the lamentable situation is created by the living entities, is it not? Adi Atme, right? By the mind. He has a BMW, I only have a Honda. So immediately become dissatisfied. Or somebody is not too happy with you. Mosquito stick, or you got blood A group, okay, let me come and bite you. Then it's Adi Bodhi, another living entity causing you problems. And there's no proper sacrifice done for the demigods, no proper, puja, and everything is not properly done. There is too much rain, too much flood, no rain, and so on and so forth. That is Adi Atme. So lamentation is caused by us, not by the Lord. Sujati, he is the creator of the manifested universes. Agati, he is the maintainer of these universes. Ati, he is also the annihilator of these universes. Nasajate Asmin, even though he is doing all this, he is not affected by them. In other words, he is completely transcendental to everything. Bhuteshu, Chantarhita. He lives within the heart of all living beings as Paramatma. Atma Tantraha. He is completely self-independent. Jitrati. He performs all his activities without any attachment. Just like how one smells the fragrance of any flower. Shat Guneshaha. He is the master of the six senses. He is therefore called Rishikesha. Sat Vargitam. He is fully omnipotent with six opulences. The six opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. And all these will add up to 15 qualities. So, we got to understand, these are technical information of the Lord. Now, devotees, in general, we usually don't go for these technicalities. What do we want to know? His pastime. Is it not? What we are interested in is, when was the last time he broke his third pot? Whose house did he go and rob? Whose baby did he pinch? These are the things that actually gives us pleasure. So, in order to come to that platform, it's a total different respect. Here Sridhar Goswami goes on one step further and he mentions that foolish with poor fund of knowledge cannot know these transcendental qualities of the Lord. The foolish, alright, with poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, activities of the Lord, who's playing like an actor in a drama, nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. So, comparing this to the verse that we were just reading earlier on, we can realize that only Krishna and Arjuna, they are having this particular thing going on. And Krishna is actually revealing his universal form only to Arjuna. And there are still millions and millions of soldiers standing there. And none of them know what is happening. Totally covered. So they do not know what is happening. That's exactly how we can compare the living entity who is foolish, who does not realize the transcendental nature of the Lord, form, activities and so on. Now, if that is the case, then who can actually understand? Again, Sridhar Goswami goes one verse forward. And he says, only those who surrender, or rather, those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service onto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power and transcendence. So, we can see from here, we can analyze our devotional status. Are we undeserved in our devotional service? Are we reserved? Are we giving him 80% and keeping 20%? Even that is not allowed. 100% Atmanivedanam. Uninterrupted. Uninterrupted means what? Today I am going to do some puja and I have everything going on very nicely and suddenly something comes up and he says, okay, today skip lah. Never mind, he will understand. He and I, Akalya, we no problem. We can understand. That sort of complacency that sets in the mind immediately will cause a downfall. There is no such thing as uninterrupted or rather interrupted service. Interruptions will be there, but we pray to the Lord and we go on. Whatever, according to time, place and circumstances. Sometimes when I'm doing certain things, I will be making some adjustments. Because what is the most important thing is preaching. What is the most important thing is distributing love of Krishna to everyone. Not the technical stuff, which of course Krishna understands then. But the service will go on. But it is not that you make a total exception of the service and say, okay, today I got Shivaji on the TV, I cannot do the arati. Then that is ridiculous. That makes sense enjoyment. Alright? So this is not the way to do things. So, uninterrupted and favorable. Everything in favor of Krishna. Alright? When we are cooking, sometimes, this is how the mind runs. Sometimes when you are cooking, even if it's, let's say if it's a mother, alright, the mother will say, if I cook too much of this bitter thing, my son will not eat. And then he will go to waste. So, how to? So maybe I cook less of this. And then maybe I cook more of this because my husband likes this. Or my wife likes this. So, is this favorable service? No. It is favorable service for the family, but not for the Lord. Alright? So, the mind should be, once you are inside this extended temple room, which is the kitchen, that I am actually cooking for the Lord. The Lord likes this, 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 and this. This must be prepared in this way, this way, this way. This is how Srila Prabhupada did it. So this should be in the mind, rather than other thing and focusing on all the other things. That is why you see devotees, sometimes they put on a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, or some budget, or something, and just concentrate and focus, and then they sing along. There was a devotee in Dallas, who always wears a mask. And also that his driver, and also he has a chest pain, so his perspiration don't touch his preparation. And then there was this particular day, he was blacked out, no light. And he managed to cook, without even seeing what he's cooking. That was his devotion. He didn't see it, he didn't, you know, get anything on it. And he was one step higher in his devotional service. So, uninterrupted, he was not bothered. Light, hair or no hair, I can still manage. And he could see what he was doing, and he just simply managed to cook Bhoga for offering on that day for the temple. So like that, favorable service, this is very, very important. We have to put it and nail it inside our heart and inside our mind. So, the only way we can understand and relish and realize and relish the Lord's qualities and pastime is by rendering unreserved, amaya, uninterrupted, santataya, and favorable, anuvritya, bhakti unto Him. Sincere, determined service is required from us. So every time when we are doing any kind of seva, walking, talking, sitting down, doing japa, or reading, then we should keep all these three things in our mind. Whenever there is interruption in the mind, then we should tell ourselves, please mind uninterrupted, please mind favorable, please mind unreserved. You know, so like that we should go on and go on and on. So in the past times, for example, in the past times of the Brahmanas, right, the wives were cooking for Krishna, alright, and his friends, and the ladies expressed the desire to the Lord to always stay with Him. Remember, there was the Brahmanas' wives were coming out and they were cooking, and the Brahmanas were getting upset, why this Mataji is cooking for these two boys, and so on and so forth. And the moment they came, they were completely overcome by seeing Krishna, and they immediately wanted to stay. They were even ready to give up their relationship with the family and their family ties and so on. On seeing their unalloyed love for Him, the Lord instructed in the sloka, in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:23-33, what did the Lord say? He said, Shravanat, Darshanat, Jnanan, Mayi Bhavo, Nukirtanat, Na, Tatha, Sanikeshena, Patiyatha, Tato Grahan. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my name and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. He instructed so nicely. You know, so nicely. And there was one time when the gopis were running to him, and he said, you left your pati, Prananath and your family and everybody, and you have come here. What is the meaning of this? But actually he was the one who was playing the flute, calling them all. And then they wanted to make him happy, and they said, if we become lesser in our Swadharma, will we get your darshan? And they were making him happy by asking that particular question. And immediately he was so happy, he started off Rasa-lila. So, many a time, when we think that only by staying in close with the Lord or the spiritual master or even senior devotees or by settling in the dham, we would advance in bhakti, but as the Lord very nicely explains here, it is possible to increase more love for Him even in separation. If we engage ourselves in hearing His glories, seeing His deity form, chanting His holy names and His glories, physical association, of course, definitely purifies us. But our mind is so tricky that when we remain in close proximity for a longer duration without engaging ourselves in chanting His names or discussing His glories, then even in such pious settings, we will start finding faults with devotees and situations in the holy dham, in the holy place. Remember there was, Gurudev used to explain, Guru Maharaj used to explain that there used to be 50 brahmacharis in the Radha Damodar traveling party. right? So whenever Prabhupada comes, they will meet more devotees, and these brahmacharis will walk in. From one end of the door, there will be one door on that side and one door on this side. And Prabhupada will be seated in the center. And each brahmachari will be holding a rose. And as they come in, they will bow down, place the rose at Prabhupada's lotus feet, and go out from this door. That's how they used to do preaching. Every time you come, you see brahmacharis like that. At that one time, something really went amiss. And when Prabhupada was in the room, devotees were walking in and out without even bowing down. As if Prabhupada was a deity. They were just coming in and going out and coming in and going out. So Prabhupada was wondering what's happening. And then he called someone and he told them, this is offensive. So similarly, this is what happens. That when we enter the altar room, alright, for the first time, what we do? We clap our hands 3 times, announce that we are going to come in, and then we come in, and then we bow down, and then we do some seva, and then we go out. And the next time when we come in, just throw the curtain one side, walk in straight, he knows what I am coming. So, must bow down again, must clap again. No need a finish. Interrupted. That's it. So this is complacency. So at the time, when your Guru Maharaj is present, every time you bow down. Every time you bow down. Even if you want to go one step further, every time you see a devotee, in your mind pay respect. First time you bow down. Second time you say, Prabhu, I'm getting sleepy. Every time you ask me to bow down, get out. So, pay your respect in your mind. Like that. So, this is to prevent complacency and, you know, offenses from taking place. What is the word they used to say? The saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? Legal term. When Vasudeva inquired Narada Muni and other sages about Karma Yoga, in spite of having Lord Krishna himself as a son, Narada Muni, before replying to Vasudeva, informed the sages in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.31. In this world, familiarity breeds contempt. For example, one who lives on the banks of the Ganges might travel to some other body of water to be purified. This is what happens. Is it not? So, this is the mind. The mind is thinking, you know. Okay, I'm here for so long. Let me go somewhere else. The what they say, the grass is greener on the other side. So all of us will become cows. Hare Krishna. So anyway, so as warned by Narada Muni and Lord Krishna, one important thing that we have to keep in our mind, not just keep in our mind, lock it up, so that it doesn't go out and become complacent. And then there is a small gap, or a crevice is good enough. When I say crevice, I really mean crevice. A small crack on this principle, devotional service will fall and break and go into shattering pieces, and that's it. Let us not be judgmental about the behavior of other devotees. Spiritual master or people in the dharma, in the holy dharma. But realize the value of their association always and spend the valuable time with them only in discussing the topics of the Lord. For such sound alone will result in the increasing of our love for Godhead. So this is very, very important. The moment we fail on this one, you can chant 34 rounds, you can chant 64 rounds. It's just round one. King Krishna will not give. There was one time Mahanidhi Goswami was giving class in Vrindavan Dham, and he said that when a devotee falls down, what exactly happens? People will say, oh, he falls down, you know, he's from his transcendental position. This person fell down, you know. So they focus on his falling down. But Krishna doesn't envision it that way. Krishna says, now he's gone to the valley, he will be coming up the hill, and he'll be coming towards me again. So that's how Krishna sees it. So, what happens? Krishna says, I reward you according to your surrender. So if you keep on focusing on the falling down, Krishna will say, okay, all the falling down, you please keep. Because that's what you're focusing on, that's what you're meditating on, so you please keep it. So he will automatically channel it to that particular living entity who's interested in falling down. So, we should not be like that. We should take our mind and keep it very safely. This is a very dangerous situation here. So, to continue devotional service is the only way to eradicate atheistic thoughts from our heart and install unshakable faith in the Lord's greatness. So that is also very important. Our sadhana, our spiritual activity, all these things should go on just like maybe a calendar. Alright? Strike 12, strike 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 something, the sun comes up. Is it not? So same thing. So automatically we should keep ourselves like that. The moment the house becomes warm, the first thing you should do is run to the altar, switch on the fan. Not turn on the aircon and, whoa, so nice, finish. So that is keeping devotional service in the mind. Remember that. So that is how we do it. Alright? When we are walking by a fruit shop, fruits of season, grihastha's duty. It is the duty of the grihastha to get the season fruit, go back and offer to Krishna. Alright? Except durian. So sweet. Very important. We don't even allow it in MRT. What does that mean? So that is not allowed during Mangala Arati. Alright. In fact, we came across this part that His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj explained that there is no need to see the Lord in person. It is so nice. If there is no need to see the Lord in person. When we are in touch with Him in transcendental sound vibration, then it is as good as seeing Him. Because Krishna and the Holy Name is non-different. Alright? You just try throwing a stone at somebody's name tag and see what happens. His whole family will come out today. So there is no difference in the Holy Name and the Lord. And we can be purified by only chanting and hearing the transcendental vibration of His name. And the Lord declared as follows, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you as you go on further. And as thus be seen directly. And only in this way you can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Now remember, we have to always remember this last line of this purport that says very clearly, no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna. No one. So are we going to become that no one, or are we going to become something else? Alright, this is like a political party. Which party do you want to be in? It's very simple. So we have to keep our mind in that sense. See, in Vrindavan Dham, there was this Mataji who was newly married. And she came to Vrindavan Dham. Alright? And when she came, she was only kept inside the house. The mother-in-law was there and the sister-in-law was there. Two great enemies. They were both there. And they said, you cannot leave the house. You can only stay inside the house. We are going to go outside and we are going to see and we are going to do something. But they didn't say what thing. That something was, Krishna was going to grace his house. So they were going out to take darshan of Krishna. But they were preventing her from coming out because she was newly married. So that was the story. But they had to put it in such a way that, you know, and of course she was very intelligent. They said, no, I'm going to come with you. I'm not going to stay here in this house and get locked up. No, I'm going to come out with you. And she said, no, if you come out, there is a black serpent outside and if it bites you, you will never recover from that poison. That's what they say. Black serpent, oh my goodness. So she said, never mind, it's all right. And they said, no, no, you cannot come out. And somehow or other they locked her up and they went out. So as they left, she came out and then there was this small hole where she could see through but no one can see her. See? So she was standing there and looking, hoping that Krishna will come with his house. Of course, what else will he do? He is of course the master of all tricks, you know. So he came and he knew what's happening. So immediately he was playing a trick with a cup who was with him. And the cup was like programmed. You know, you were programmed. So this cup was programmed. Immediately jumped and went to that particular door only. And he stood right in front of that door. Excuse, I must go and get my cup back, right? So Krishna walks and goes to that cup, right in front of that door. So Krishna, she could actually see. The moment she saw, she lost her mind. And that verse is called Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Man Mana Bhava, that's it. Immediately the mind was captivated. She lost her mind, completely gone. That's it, finished. So what happened? Krishna immediately went, and she was looking and looking. Krishna was gone, the vibration, the sound, everything was gone, the dust also gone, and it was settled in the ground, but she was just standing there like a statue. And the mother-in-law and sister-in-law came back. We told you, right? Not to get bitten by the serpent. And then they say, we are going to punish you. Here, take this water pot. okay, keep this small child with you. Make sure she don't cry. And then go out and fetch water. And then she went and then gave her a big rope to tie the pot and bring it down to the well and bring water. So she was given all these things. She was walking to the well. She immediately went there. Her mind was still focused only on Krishna's form. That she tied the noose around the child's neck and wanted to lower the child into the pond, onto the well to take water. And all the other devotees, they said, hey, what is happening? And Krishna came and saved the child. So like that, what we are interested in is Krishna's pastime. And that can only be understood by the mercy of the devotees. And how can the mercy of devotees come to you? By not offending them. And when you don't offend them, what do? You do service for them. When you do service for them, what happens? The Lord becomes pleased. When the Lord becomes pleased, then the small bhakti lata beach of loving devotional service starts to grow in your heart. As it grows further and further, everyone else will be seen as devotees and not as enemies. In fact, one of the verses says that you can only know me and you can only understand me if you don't have any enemies. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he has no enemies. Yudhishthira Maharaj has no one, no enemies. So like that, we must not have any enemy whatsoever. Everyone we see, we must only see Paramatma. Everyone in their heart, we must only see Krishna. Then this is possible. Otherwise, it is not possible. So this transcendental form, this universal form that Krishna's, that Arjuna saw, was bestowed upon him because he was asking to see that universal form, not because he desired so, because he wanted to prove to the rest of the living entities that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see, we always say 33 million demigods, is it? Right? So, how many of us are saying 1 million? Maybe half a million. Maybe 250,000? None of us. But Arjuna has. He saw every one of them in that universal form. So that is his qualification. Are we that qualified yet? No. We are struggling for Mangalarati. Struggling to get on MRT. Right? Mangalarati stands for MRT, not that phrase. So, that's my short form. So the thing is, if we keep our mind steady, uninterrupted and totally devoted, only then it is possible to see and get the darshan of the Lord. Similar to what Arjuna was having here in this particular verse. So thank you so much. Ritrat Bhagavad Gita ki. Any questions whatsoever? Senior devotee are sitting on that side. Any comments, corrections? So if not, we will go on to the next part of the program, which is offering light. Yes, and also we have to actually chant one round. In fact, I was wondering why only one round. But time is an essence. So we're going to chant one round, and this one round will be dedicated to His Holiness, Jayapada Maharaj, Acharyapada. Very close to our heart. Every time he sees a devotee, he will hold you by your right arm. And his grip is quite very firm. I have experienced that. And he will ask you one sweet question. That is, how can I serve you? That's his mode. So, now that he is not unwell, we will all sit down here and chant and sincerely pray to Krishna to enable us to have a longer darshan of him and for his good health.
Mataji, it's a very nice point actually I was reading in the website that Maharaj appeared to one of his devotees in his dream, in the devotee's dream, and informed the devotee that please continue this chanting because it is giving me relief and it is giving me relief and it is pleasing. So Maharaj himself, you know, has so much potency that actually even in an apparent difficult state of health, he's actually getting all devotees, millions of devotees, thousands of devotees around the world to actually chant. and for him to appear in the dream of his of a devotee of his disciple, and to let him know, you know, to affirm this point, you know, shows us the quality of Vaishnava, that really he's beyond the material trappings of the body, and that he can continue to communicate with us and keep us engaged with chanting. So that is why we are coming together today. Please chant very, very nicely, and please offer our rounds that we are doing now, as Roji rightly pointed out.